Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Did you see what the old Lakers said about the 2000 Trailblazers? Did you read this at all?
I didn't see this, but this is like, I feel like Shaq is master of saying what would or wouldn't have happened back in the day. He likes to do these sorts of things.
What do you mean?
Well, Shaq talks about like how they would have dominated the Bulls, and Shaq thinks a lot of those old Laker teams.
Oh, no, it's the other way. He's talking about they won. I mean, you remember they beat the Blazers.
Yeah, that was in the Western Conference Finals.
Right, and they went on to beat, I mean, the Blazers had them by 15 or whatever it was.
Yeah, the fourth quarter.
They went on to beat Indiana. Shaq, I don't know who he was talking to, but it was something he was doing recently. He was quoted as saying that the Blazers of 2000 were the toughest team. He said they were the only team that wasn't scared of us. He was talking to Howard Beck of the Bleacher Report in an oral history of the lob. So they did an oral history of the Kobe Bryant Shaq lob, which, God, what a heartbreaking moment for Trailblazer fans.
Yep.
The moment that lob happened, I think we all remember where we were.
Oh, yeah.
God, that was...
I remember watching it with my dad, and my dad hated the Lakers. And my sister and brother loved the Lakers. And there was a...
Wait, I thought your dad was a Laker fan. Isn't he a front runner?
No, he's a Celtic. Well,
Celtics.
Yeah, but this is the other dad. This is the one that's passed on. I remember there being legitimate tension in our household because my brother and sister were big Laker fans. And my dad being livid. He hated the flashy, you know, the Lakers.
Was it Damon's? Might have been Damon's. Or BJ's, but I think BJ's is still up there.
No, BJ's still there. It was Damon's.
It's Damon's. It was Damon's. That's where I was. Any hoosies. Then Rick Fox was on there, and he said, quote, "It's probably the best team I've ever faced playing basketball, period."
Whoa.
Yeah.
Really?
Yep.
Boy, that's a bold statement.
Isn't that crazy that they're saying that?
Well, everyone knows, it's widely believed that they would have beaten Indiana,
of course.
But I mean, to really the best team. No offense to, you know, Sheed and Pippen, Stoudemire, Sabas, Greg Anthony. I mean, come on.
Oh wait, sorry, that was Ori who said that.
Okay,
Robert Ori said that.
Well,
that dude's won. How many rings does that dude have?
I think he's got six.
I want to say he's got seven.
Well, either way, that's not the.
He said it's the best team he's ever faced.
That's not true.
That team, I looked up the old 2000 Blazers. They were third in offensive rating, mm-hmm. fifth in defensive rating. They won 59 games. And I'm sure you all remember, but I didn't remember that they had already trailed 3-1 in that series.
Yeah, and came
back. They clawed all the way back.
Yep. And then had them down in the fourth quarter. I mean, we all know that. But yeah, they were down 3-1.
So they had, it was Stoudemire and Greg Anthony at point.
Mm-hmm.
Steve Smith and Stacey Augman at the two. They ran Pippen out there with Detlef and Bonzi. That's pretty good.
Yeah, Grant was on that team.
It was Rasheed and Brian Grant at the four, and then Sabas. And then occasionally Jermaine O'Neal.
Yeah, he was just a young pup.
He was young.
And, you know, and then he eventually got shipped out of town for Dale Davis. See, and maybe this, I don't know. It's just the era, but I grew up here. The Blazer team that lost to the Bulls, that's a better team than this.
Right. That's how I feel about it too. But I wasn't into either.
Yeah.
But just looking at, you know, the Drexler, Porter, looking at those guys.
Yeah. That to me,
it's just total outsider's perspective is that team was way better than the 2000 Blazers team, but maybe I'm wrong. I don't know.
Well, I mean, one made the finals and one didn't. I mean,
yeah, but man, when you got Shaq and these guys saying, dude, that's the toughest team we faced and they were the best, and they had them. I mean, they had them.
I know.
So,
but I just find it, you know, some of that has to just be, you're romanticizing a little bit. That's not the best team that Robert Horry has ever played. I don't buy it. And again, in my mind, the late 80s and the early 90s, that was a better
Who
team.
Who else was on? Okay? Well, see, now I gotta go.
And you had more. I just think you had more star power too. Plus,
you did, but you didn't have the depth, right?
Like you probably didn't have the depth.
I just named two really good players at each position on the 2000 team.
Yeah.
So let me go back. You guys would know better than me, but I just want to go back to the old finals team that lost to the Bulls.
So that would have been 91. No, 91 was when they lost. That was the Bulls' first one when they beat the Lakers. So I think
it was 92.
I'm looking here. I got it pulled up.
Yeah, give me their depth chart.
Yeah, your depth chart. So you had, obviously you had Clyde, who was the,
How about this? Let's
Clyde,
come back.
Porter, Kersey.
You're just
Buck,
gonna fight right through it.
Duckworth, Uncle Cliffy, Danny Ainge.
Wait, slow down.
Okay.
Can we break and come back and talk about
we
it?
We can break and
you
come back.
Talk about your golf game, Rob.
I'd fill you in. Yeah.
How's the swing?
Yeah, it's all right.
Yeah,
hands up and down.
Hands doing okay. Get a little handsy out there.
Up and down.
Heard you're upset with your spot on the leaderboard at Langdon.
So we'll come back and talk about this next. I want the full-on depth chart on this.
Okay.
And then I'll be the definitive judge.
You are correct, sir.
Of which team is better. I'll be the judge of this. Okay, we were talking about Shaq, who came out on Bleacher Report. He was talking to Howard Beck, and he said that the Blazers of 2000 were the toughest team of that. He was talking about that year.
A year.
And they were the only team that wasn't scared of the Lakers.
And that I totally buy, because the Blazers should have beat the Lakers. They're down 3-1, but they came back, should have finished that thing off in the fourth quarter, and I have no doubt they would have finished that off against Indiana.
And Robert Horry's quote is, it's probably the best team I've ever faced playing basketball, period. That's 2000 Blazers.
That's the one that I have a hard time swallowing, because he would have played against those Bulls teams. He would have played against the Karl Malone, John Stockton, Utah Jazz teams. He would have played against those Piston teams. So I put a pause there. The Shaq one, yes. Robert Horry, no.
So 2000 Blazers had Stoudemire and Greg Anthony at point. Steve Smith, Stacey Augmon at two. Three was Pippen, Detlef, and Bonzi, which is insane.
Yeah.
And then Rasheed and Brian Grant. God. And then Sabas. That
really is a good.
Boy, that is really
it's,
good.
It's
And Jermaine O'Neal.
I just always, in my mind, that team that, because they went to the finals in what, in 90 and then in 92.
Yeah.
And it's essentially the same roster. And they lost to the Pistons and then they lost to Jordan and the Bulls.
You've always thought of them as better. I have.
As better. And so their lineup would have been Terry Porter, Robert Pack at the point. Yeah. Drexler, Danny Ainge at shooting guard. Yeah. Jerome Kersey and Cliffy at small forward. Buck, Mark Bryant, and Abdelnaby at power forward. And then Duckworth was their center.
Yeah, I tend to now look at it a little bit differently, because I remember watching the old Blazers from afar. Again, I wasn't a huge NBA fan growing up. But in the 90s, Porter and Drexler, of course I knew of them.
Yeah.
But the other guys, the outsider's perspective was that Kersey, Buck, Duckworth, they were just role players.
Yeah.
Right?
They were really good role players, though, in the chemistry on that team. And I think you had a true legitimate star.
Yeah, no, I'm not trying to minimize them. I'm just telling you what the view of that team was. Whereas the view of the 2000 team is they're loaded at pretty much every position.
Yeah.
You know? So I think that the 2000 team feels better and deeper, but the early 90s team, Clyde Drexler was insane.
Yeah, it's funny. When I remember watching the early 90s teams and thinking that's got a chance to be the best team in the NBA. I don't remember that about the,
right.
the 2000-2001 Blazers.
And is that because they were kind of, well,
it's possible.
The schmucks.
Yeah, the schmucks and the just whole, the chemistry. And,
answer this question. Here's a question for you. Looking back, seeing you know, the prevalence of marijuana in our city now.
Yeah.
And in many states.
Yeah, that it doesn't matter anymore.
How unfair were we to the and look through the prism of Black Lives Matter and, you know, everything that's been going on here recently.
Yeah.
How unfair were we to the jailblazers? And you can answer not unfair at all. That's, I get it.
Yeah.
But were we, do we need to revisit that a little bit?
I don't, because it was more than just, marijuana. And this is what I would say.
That was a lot of their main stuff,
it,
though.
It was a lot of their main stuff, but it wasn't.
Rashid
was his own worst enemy. Bonzi was his own worst enemy. You had, you know, when you were talking about Reuben Patterson, you had the nanny thing. They were, you know, and Z-Bo. Look, weed certainly played a big role in that, especially with Damon Stoudemire. The only thing I'll say about that is, and this is the Stephen A. Smith thing, that it's the one thing I agree with him on. At least for in my mind, weed is ridiculous that is a crime in any shape or form. Now, if you're going to have booze legal, weed should be too. But at the same time, you knew what the lay of the land was back then, right? You knew what was and wasn't okay. You knew what you could and couldn't get in trouble for, and that you couldn't keep your hand out of the cookie jar, right? And that trailblazer or the jailblazer era, it was just one thing after another, and there has to be some accountability. I say the same thing about Ricky Williams. It's ridiculous that Ricky Williams got railroaded out of the NFL for what he did because it was just simply weed. But at the same time, Ricky knew what the laws were. Ricky knew what the testing policy was, and he couldn't stop himself. So while I think it's BS that you were having to deal with that stuff, at the same time, take some accountability and for a couple months out of the year, stay off of it.
Yeah, somebody brought up, remember when Canzano showed up to Stoudemire's house to pee test him.
Oh yeah,
you remember that?
Yeah.
God.
Yeah, it certainly was an interesting
Boy, they
era
were,
to say the least.
It
but they
so
were,
was.
But they were really good.
They were amazing, and there were different iterations of them too.
Yeah.
And they had different guys who did different. I mean, you get into the Zach Randolph years, you know, that's different than the early 2000s.
Yeah. And I
right?
just.
When did Randolph get there?
That was after that was
yeah, and that and I feel like it was worse then. But Stoudemire,
it got worse when Zach got there and
people
Reuben Patterson.
People loved Stoudemire.
Yeah.
Stoudemire was a stud, local stud. Mm-hmm. But you know, weed, and then Rashid just couldn't get out of his own way because he was such a jerk.
Yeah,
and but then you start adding
Bonzi,
Z-Bo, and Reuben Patterson.
Yep,
and some of his transgressions and.
Yeah.
And it just got worse. Boy, that was something else. I remember I was getting into sports radio right around those times. And boy, that was just so fascinating.
Yeah.
To sit and watch a city who loved that team just unravel just totally unravel. Like I remember being on the air and just getting emails and stuff from back then. We took emails and they would be sponsors. And here's why I'm pulling out and I'll never go to another Blazer game again and this and that. And then Brandon Roy happened.
And Brandon Roy, supposedly, the legend goes that Brandon was the one that helped get Z-Bo out of town. He was like, look, it's time to turn the page. Doesn't fit here anymore. And they did. They listened to him and they got him out. And then you started a new era. And you
know, Woods.
Yeah, Quintel Woods. Which, by the way, he wasn't the only one dogfighting, but he's the one, obviously, that took the fall for it. The stories from that, whether you're talking about, you know, coke being left on bathroom stalls or out in the open where media could see it. Mm. I saw a gun fall out of a guy's waistband.
So the dump.
It wasn't a Blazer player, but it was a member of, was it the Hoop family or Hoops family?
Hoop family.
Yeah, I saw a gun literally fall out of someone's someone's waistband.
Nah.
You're just like, you might want to pick that one up. There's kids laying around. It certainly was a
J.R. Ryder.
Yeah, one of the more intriguing eras here. But that's an interesting debate between the
I think
going
it
back
is.
To the 92, because in my mind, I still contend that the 92 team was a better team and the 2000 team was probably more talented.
You're probably saying that because of the star power of the and the likability of the
I just think it was
and the longevity of
I do.
That
I think
team.
It was a better chemistry team. They went to two NBA finals. You had a legitimate star on that. The biggest star on that Blazer team was an aging Scottie Pippen who was well past his prime. Or if you wanted to say
Rasheed,
who was a borderline all-star. Whereas I think you look at Porter, Drexler, Duck, I think those guys were all all-stars that year. And Drexler's one of the greatest to ever play. And Drexler was considered probably the second best player in the game around that time.
Yeah, but the 2000 team
is deep.
Boy, was it deep and long. Like, think about the defense, the athleticism. Just, boy, that's... There are a lot of subtly good teams, subtly great teams in the NBA that don't get any credit.
Yeah.
That's one of them.
I think that Utah team is one, too, that lost back-to-back years.
But they weren't subtly great. They had two superstars.
We don't talk about them very much.
You know, the Indiana team, you know, I thought the Reggie Miller team, that was a subtly great team because you hear Michael Jordan talking about them having to get through them. This is kind of the same thing here where the Lakers are saying, hey, that Blazers team, nobody's going to talk about them, but that was the toughest team we played. Yeah. That's kind of what Jordan was saying about the old Indiana teams Reggie Miller.
Reggie Miller and Chris Mullin and Rick Smits. And yeah, those were deep, good teams. And they pushed the Bulls, right? Seven games. And, you know, there's
Pistons. That Pistons championship team is a subtly great team.
Yes.
And well-built. And Rasheed was on that team.
Was on that team with Rip Hamilton and Ben Wallace. And they were a fixture there for a number of years, but only got the one title. But yeah, that was a damn good team. In fact, that was one that you can look at and say maybe the only team without that won an NBA title without a true star, right?
Yep.
It was a collection of really good players, but didn't have a star, which was kind of, in my mind, what that Blazer team was, and they should have won a title. They just, you know, they let it kind of dribble down their leg in the fourth quarter against the Lakers.
Who was the most important player on that Pistons team?
Chauncey Billups. Maybe Rip Hamilton.
Keep going. Because you can make a case for three or four guys.
Well, you can make it for Rasheed. You can make it for Ben Wallace.
That's, again, four guys.
Yeah. It's a damn good
collection of teams.
It's
probably Billups. Because I think he's just criminally underrated and always has been. It probably is Billups, especially because he was the point guard. But yeah, you can make a case for any of those four guys on that team.
And then another one that, you know, it's, again, just go back to that era where Jordan dominated. But, you know, how about when Jordan left, the vacuum that was filled was with those Houston teams. And Elijah Wan and Kenny Smith and Clyde was on one of those and Robert Horry.
Yeah.
Give Houston credit. I mean, I know they never beat Chicago, but... You know, we had an 8-year run there where it was owned by the Bulls minus the 2 years and Houston took advantage and went back to back. And also people pointed out those King teams were really good with Chris Webber.
The ones that got screwed.
The one that got screwed.
That was early 2000s as well, wasn't it?
Right around that time. That was a meat grinder out west. We had the Lakers, that Blazer team that was damn good, and then the Kings. You know, the Sonics, still around that were, you know, with Gary Payton and company. That was there were a lot of good teams. You know, back then that never put a ring on their finger.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.